This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Today on AFCEA Answers, just how do we tame the fire hose called big data? The conversation starts right now. I'm Max Kakis with AFCEA International. Welcome to AFCEA Answers. Joining us in the studio today, Simone Zickman, the Chief Information Officer with the Department of Commerce here in Washington, D.C. Kapil Bakshi, Chief of Solution Architect with Cisco Public Sector here in Washington. And joining us on the phone from Cisco headquarters in San Jose, California, Tony West, Vice President for Advanced Research and Technologies with Cisco Systems. Welcome all. This is the first of two programs that we're going to be doing here on AFCEA Answers on the topic of big data. It is, as most people know, one of the top concerns of IT managers everywhere these days, no less so in the federal government and in the industry sector that services the federal government. Simone, I want to start with you and ask you how you define big data. And you have CIO responsibilities for a big agency like the Department of Commerce that also has many different and disparate agencies under its umbrella. And this must create some interesting challenges for you as an IT manager.
We do have a variety of different applications of big data at the Department of Commerce. One of our bureaus, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, has the National Weather Service in it, as well as a satellite service. And so they run a series of orbiting satellites collecting data to support weather prediction and climate modeling. Their high-performance computing systems used for the modeling do something like processing 3.5 billion observations a day. They produce 15 million different data products a day. The National Centers for Environmental Prediction disseminate about 20 terabytes a day to millions of customers, and their archives are growing at a rate of 30 petabytes a year. So there's some big data applications there. And then something that's completely different from a mission perspective, you can look at the Census Bureau, which many people are familiar with the decennial census run every 10 years, but they have a variety of other types of census and statistical gathering activities at Census. They're responsible for collecting data for over 300 million people in the U.S., which they did for 2010. They'll be repeating that in 2020. They also have business information, administrative records, and the kinds of processing they do for this big data includes processing for 30 days every quarter on the business data they have. For the decennial census, the processing time for that data was well over 3 months, processing 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So there's a real big impact on the analytical capabilities as well as the infrastructure needed to support that.
Good heavens. I'm going to go to Tony and Kapil also in a few moments, but how would you encapsulate the challenge that poses for you as the CIO?
Well, so I'll answer the question you didn't ask first, which is what's not a challenge? And what's not a challenge is data. In fact, our ability to generate data is outpacing our ability to manage, store it, move it, and process it. And that's really, I think, one of the things that's a little new and unique to this era of big data that we're seeing today. Because if you look back, there have always been applications that are pushing the edge of cutting-edge technology. So the kinds of challenges that we do have are just how to acquire and ingest the information that we have from sensor platforms, storage of that information, and it's sort of a short-term storage for processing purposes and then the long-term storage for archival purposes, how you process the data, and just the transport and dissemination of that data. On the weather side, there's a need to move large volumes of data across country and even to other countries, and just the movement of that. And certainly management and curation of data over long term is another big priority, especially because for things like climate modeling and weather prediction, the U.S. government maintains long-term records of weather and climate information. So the curation and how we manage that over years and decades is a big priority. And security, obviously, is another important thing. We want to manage the integrity of that information and make sure that we're disseminating what we want to be disseminating and protecting what we should be protecting. And I think the last thing that people who are working with big data are struggling with right now is also the new workforce requirements and specialized skills associated with how we do all of these things.
Gotcha. Tony, based on what you've heard Simone talk about, how would you describe big data in terms of a product category, in terms of its maturity as a product category?
Well, I think obviously it is in some sense an outgrowth of prior art, but there are some new factors which are complicating our lives. First of all, there's the rapid proliferation of endpoints on the internet that are generating information, and you know it's not like just phones and computers and things. It's also increasingly sensors, the kinds of things like in smart electricity meters, for example, and the idea is that we would hook all of those things up to some kind of galactic central brain and analyze the data coming in order to transform the data into information, because you know it's actually not big data we want, it's big information we want. So that's the task, and I would say we're really in the early stages of the technology maturity curve here, because what you know these technologies are only now coming together to enable us to take this volume of data and the speed at which it's coming in and the different varieties of things and figure out how to translate that into some kind of value. So early stages, but you know we've got a big expansion ahead of us.
Okay, very good. Still to come, we're going to probe the state of the art when it comes to big data. You're listening to FCA Answers on Federal News Radio.
Cisco is a worldwide leader in innovative technology that is transforming how government organizations better protect, serve, and educate their constituencies. Today, agencies are working to modernize federal IT infrastructures to help streamline processes, better connect government employees, provide superior service to citizens, and protect our country. Through a proven secure cross-architecture approach, Cisco is enabling government leaders to rethink how they deliver and safeguard critical services and assets during unprecedented budgetary challenges while increasing workforce productivity, enhancing operational efficiencies, and driving down costs. Cisco's proven products and services accelerate technology performance and business decisions and deliver a high-quality, secure, assured experience. For more information, visit Cisco at cisco.com/go/federal. That's cisco.com/go/federal.
AFCEA is your source for cybersecurity. The upcoming TechNet Augusta event, September 10th through 12th, will focus on Army Ground Forces, modernizing for Network 2020. The Biometric Consortium Conference and Exposition, September 17th through 19th, addresses the important role that biometrics plays in identification and verification of individuals for government and commercial applications worldwide. Signal Magazine's September issue examines the new NATO, plus a look at the future identity of management in the federal government. AFCEA also offers cybersecurity professional development courses, including social media management and cybersecurity intelligence. Members enjoy significant discounts and benefits with AFCEA's education preferred providers, including Carnegie Mellon's Software Engineering Institute's Step Forward Training. Learn more about these opportunities at www.afcea.org. Keyword, cyber.
Welcome back to FCA Answers on Federal News Radio. Our guests today are Simone Zickman, Chief Information Officer with the Department of Commerce. Joining us on the phone from San Jose, California is Tony West, Vice President for Advanced Research and Technologies with Cisco Systems, and Kapil Bakshi, Chief Solution Architect with Cisco Public Sector. Now, one of the big things we always hear about when it comes to big data is trying to make sense out of all of this. Data analytics, they say, is the key, but there are other important areas like the network and also computing and storage capacity. Kapil, what's the state of the art when it comes to big data technologies and techniques?
Thank you, Max. Thanks for inviting me to the show, and it's great to hear all the commentary from Simone and Tony. And which is just in line with what I'm going to talk about in terms of state of the art of big data, if you will. So the big data states, big data technologies and techniques are maturing. There's a lot of research development going on, a lot of interesting projects going on, both in open source and closed source. I want to point out a couple things in here first. First of all, we tend to focus a lot on big data analytics when it comes to big data, which is the right thing, which it is the most dominant part of big data. However, if you flip the coin and if you look at the sources of big data, as pointed out both by Simone and Tony, there's a lot of interesting trends and things happening, which are bringing state-of-the-art to us. I'll give you a quick example. There are about 50 billion devices we're expecting to connect to the internet by 2020. These are small sensors, control system devices, mobile phone devices, smartphone devices, and so forth. Some mentioned by Simone and Tony also. They will all produce some form of data or some trickle of data, and they will all be collected, flowing through the networks and flowing back to a big data analytics engine. A lot of effort happening in there. Obviously, you don't get to a 50 billion device Internet of Things without changing the way, changing the new network models, changing the way networks are built, changing the networks are done, if you will. So you'll see a lot of advancements in there, if you will. If you look on the data side, there's plenty of advancements happening there. We're expecting about 40 zettabytes of data to be collected and collected by year 2020, which is an enormous amount. One zettabyte is one followed by 21 zeros. And only 0.5% of it actually is being analyzed, or we have the capability to analyze it. So there's a huge gap there, right there, of data being expected to collect and the analytic abilities. And that gap is being filled very quickly by technologies, techniques all around analytics. So if you talk about batch analytics, real-time analytics, predictive analytics, or in-memory analytics, there are advances happening in all these areas, both in open source and closed source areas. Mm-hmm. New models are being discovered as we go. Right? For example, instead of bringing data to the compute, we take the compute algorithm and bring it to the data. This is a dominant example of how the Hadoop Apache project has been consummated into MapReduce. Right? A very common example that's been adopted. And many more examples of these things. One of the very exciting things that I see happening when from big data from a state-of-the-art is the interlock or convergence of mobility, big data, and cloud. And I'll give you a couple quick examples. If you look at some of the studies that are out there, from a mobile data point of view, we expect it to grow by 18-fold by year 2016, just in 3 years. That equates to about 11 exabytes of data flowing through mobile devices per month. That's a huge amount of data. And if you collect even a fraction of it and analyze a fraction of it, that's an enormous amount of data. And that data is going to be analyzed and stored in cloud. So that's where mobility and cloud and big data intersect.
Good heavens. And Simone and Tony, I'm kind of interested in your perspectives about, because Kapil just sort of explained all these things that are contributing to the big data flow that we have to deal with. You've got cloud, mobility, the Internet of Things. What kinds of challenges do they present to you, Simone, for trying to manage all of this?
Well, clearly, all of those things are challenges. You made a comment earlier about, a comment was made earlier about going from big data to big information. And in some cases, we are actually relying on other people to help produce information out of the data that's generated by the federal government. The government has had a strong trend towards open government and sharing of government data, and we're seeing that through increased use of public release of government data sets and in some cases even opening up of APIs that provide direct access to government data. So we're also hoping that some of the things that we aren't able to do on the government side will be done by citizens, companies, and in the private sector to help use the data in new ways, generate new types of products.
Right. And Tony, for you, from the industry side, this must create a lot of opportunities because there are some places where the technology is able to keep up with this, and there are some places where the technology, there's still some development that's underway.
Well, I think you're right about that. The fundamental fact is that all of this big data stuff happened because the world is now networked. The network is the fundamental prerequisite to being able to reach out a web of sensors and ingest points and so on, and to be able to back all that stuff into some place where you can process it. So networking, storage, compute, analytic software, these are areas we've touched on briefly. But I want to talk about two other things. First of all, don't only think that big data is about collecting information for presentation through some kind of visualization technology so that humans can make better decisions. It's also increasingly being used as the source or the control input for a feedback control system-like architecture for implementing automated policy-based control and management of subsystems and so on, which raises one big issue about big data, which is cybersecurity. If we're going to build control systems like that, which take stock of what's going on in the world and then respond and control the electricity grid, for example, we'd better be sure that we, and only we, the appropriate people, are controlling it. So there's so many issues here that, you know, we do want open APIs. We certainly want people to collaborate on development, but we also have to strengthen the resiliency of this whole infrastructure for the use cases that are coming.
All right, very good. We're gonna follow up on that a little bit. Still to come, business opportunities buried under all of that big data. You're listening to FCA Answers on Federal News Radio.
Cisco is a worldwide leader in innovative technology that is transforming how government organizations better protect, serve, and educate their constituencies. Today, agencies are working to modernize federal IT infrastructures to help streamline processes, better connect government employees, provide superior service to citizens, and protect our country. Through a proven secure cross-architecture approach, Cisco is enabling government leaders to rethink how they deliver and safeguard critical services and assets during unprecedented budgetary challenges while increasing workforce productivity, enhancing operational efficiencies, and driving down costs. Cisco's proven products and services accelerate technology performance and business decisions and deliver a high-quality, secure, assured experience. For more information, visit Cisco at cisco.com/go/federal. That's cisco.com/go/federal.
Welcome back to FCA Answers here on Federal News Radio. Simone Zickman, Chief Information Officer with the Department of Commerce, is one of our guests today. Also on the phone, Tony West, Vice President for Advanced Research and Technologies with Cisco Systems. And from Cisco Public Sector here in Washington, D.C., actually Northern Virginia, is Kapil Bakshi, the Chief Solution Architect for Cisco Public Sector. I want to start out with Tony and Kapil in this section here, and I want to talk a little bit about business use cases, the opportunities and challenges from the industry side when it comes to making it possible for government to leverage big data successfully. Kapil, you had a couple of business use cases that were on your list of things to talk about.
Sure. Thanks, Max. Yeah, absolutely. There are many use cases that are being leveraged at this point in the government. Some of them actually were pointed out by Simone earlier in his commentary. But if you look at what the Obama administration did from the White House announcement a year ago, they actually laid out certain use cases and about $200 million of funding behind those, the research and development of those use cases. A couple of use cases that are mentioned. First of all, I think Tony and Simone both mentioned about cybersecurity. The interlock of cybersecurity and big data is an enormous topic here, if you will. If you look at all the host network elements and other devices connect to our networks, our nation's networks, it is important to see what's going on these networks. So we collect log file data, data from these devices, from other sources, and other tools like NetFlow, and we can look for and analyze for specific flows, specific patterns, specific bad actors, or get situational awareness, and even as Tony said, apply policy around it. That's certainly clearly one use case. Another dominant use case is healthcare. There's enormous amount of data being collected in the healthcare industry, whether it be patient data, clinical data, drug discovery data, or genome data. And all these data sets are enormous and needs to be analyzed to provide better patient care or new drug discoveries or support genome sequencing. We just heard about the NIH announcing the initiative on big data to knowledge just to address those things. So these are some couple quick uses. And there are other many use cases in intelligence and defense area for signal intelligence or full motion video and transportation and education. So these are some interesting use cases. There are many more will be developed.
Mm-hmm. Tony, from your perspective, from your perch in San Jose, what are the opportunities and business cases that come from all of this big data?
Well, But I think there's a very important shift that's happening that opens the door to many new applications. In the past, we thought of big data as being a kind of a batch process. In other words, you'd collect all of this data into, you know, a mega place, and you would crunch through it in 24 hours, and tomorrow we would have all the realizations of what we found. So let's call that the batch mode. But Kapil mentioned cybersecurity is one possible use case, and it doesn't really help you when your network is under attack from some source to know about it tomorrow. We need to know about it now. So there is a real pressure on us to increase the velocity or, you know, reduce the latency by which we get to realizations about what this data actually means. And that's kind of stressing out different use cases and causing us to have to scramble around for new techniques and new tools for, you know, doing an analysis. So, for example, one of the things that's quite useful is to do some of the analysis actually out on the edge rather than back at Galactic Central. So we don't have to truck all of the data back to some central point before we can even think about it. So, you know, edge processing, intelligence in the network, for example, the ability to embed compute way out by the sensors, these are all opportunities of technology which translate into new use case and deployment opportunities in both government and commercial sectors.
Interesting. Simone, at the time we have remaining here, what kinds of challenges does this present to you as the CIO? You're the man who has to sign off on purchase orders and things like that to make all of this happen. From a business standpoint, what does this mean for you at Commerce in terms of buying all of this?
The trend at Commerce, I think, is similar to what we're seeing at many federal agencies. We're obviously dealing with a fiscal environment that's becoming a little more austere, and from the IT budget perspective, is after many years of IT budget growth, is seen probably being flat at best. That seems to be what's being projected. And so the real issue, I think, from an infrastructure perspective, how we support big data on all these issues, whether it's storage, processing, security, moving around data and networking, is really one of efficiencies. And what we see at Commerce is starting to consolidate what had been disparate infrastructures for data centers, infrastructures for storage and information management, as well as the infrastructure used for data dissemination. And a shift from looking at stovepiped system-specific infrastructures to enterprise-wide services. The idea being, obviously, if we start to collapse these infrastructures into larger enterprise services, mm-hmm. we can reduce the operations and maintenance costs. And also, as these infrastructures grow, we can buy at larger scale and get better pricing. So the real issue is that the needs are similar in terms of the functions we need them to provide, but we're trying to buy infrastructure that's more efficient and more effective in terms of supporting the mission needs.
Mm-hmm. And if you had a wish list for one thing you'd like to get in terms of how the acquisition process could change to improve your life as a CIO in regards to what you just described, what would that be in 30 seconds?
I think probably both on the government side as well as the industry side, everybody wishes acquisitions could move a little bit more quickly than they do sometimes. But I think really we have a bunch of people at Commerce, both at the headquarters level and the bureau level, who are dedicated and committed to meeting the mission. So we get there.
Okay, very good. On that note, I want to thank our guests, Simone Zickman, Chief Information Officer with the Department of Commerce, Tony West, Vice President for Advanced Research and Technologies with Cisco Systems, and Kapil Bakshi, Chief Solution Architect with Cisco Public Sector. Our thanks to the FCA Intelligence Committee for production help with today's show. Got a question about what we've discussed today? Got an answer. The conversation continues on our blog at federalnewsradio.com. Search FCA. That's A-F-C-E-A. That's also where you can download this program and our previous shows for listening on your schedule. This program is a production of FCA International, which is solely responsible for its content. On the web at fcia.org. I'm Max Kakis. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time for FCA Answers on Federal News Radio.